Hush. Hush. What shall I do to answer the call of justice? My friends, what shall we do? What shall we do to build a more just and equitable world for all? To break down these artificial barriers between us and create more understanding between people of different cultures and race? What shall we do? While undertaking the Beloved Conversations program is one thing we can do as individuals and as a congregation to transform our consciousness around race and culture. And last February, our community joined with five other UU congregations from the Central Coast for the opening weekend in San Luis Obispo. Merlin Snyder and Randall Edwards trained and served as facilitators for the journey, and I assisted in a pastoral capacity. And then we continued at Chalice for eight further two-hour sessions spread over 4 months. Now, in case you're wishing that you could have been part of that life-changing program, I'm delighted to say we're going to be offering it again this coming year in 2020. Beginning in February in Ventura, the weekend will be in Ventura, and then continuing here at Chalice. And you can sign up for that now with Barbara and other people in the table in Fellowship Hall, and I urge you to sign up. Soon, there are limited spaces. But why is Beloved Conversation so important? Why focus on this as a spiritual community? What did the program offer? And how has it led to all of our spiritual growth? Well, in a moment, you're going to hear from four participants in the program who were transformed by taking this class. And I saw profound awakenings and shifts in understanding, even for some in the group after lifetimes of trying to do the right thing. Now, in case you're worried, this program is not about making people feel bad or guilty. It's not about shaming or blaming. Rather, Beloved Conversations lives up to its name. We hold kind, enlightening conversations cradled in love and care that lead us through a series of discoveries. Discoveries about our own racial and cultural history as individuals. Discoveries about our congregation and our faith's work in this area, and about our nation's history. Discoveries that helped us become more aware of the institutional racism embedded everywhere in our society, in our government, our politics, our institutions, our churches, and our educational systems. As people of faith, we need to ask ourselves, what can we do about the injustices that we see every day in the news? Injustices like Latinx people being blamed and deported. Injustices like people of color being disproportionately incarcerated and targeted. Injustices aimed against our non-Christian brethren who are scapegoated and attacked in their houses of worship. Beloved Conversations showed us how to build bridges rather than walls. And above all, it helped remind us of our fundamental universalist principle that our own liberation, our own joy and freedom is bound up with that of others. Let me say that again. Our own liberation, our own joy and freedom is bound up with that of others. Since the program, our Beloved Conversations group has joined with Chalice's Racial Justice Ministry team to expand and deepen our work in this area. And yesterday, as I mentioned, 30 of us participated in a multicultural transformation workshop, which opened our eyes further. We're having deep, vulnerable conversations as a congregation. We're reaching out to communities beyond our own to form partnerships, become better allies, and grow our awareness of our part in this system. And we're cultivating our understanding of what we need to do as a faith community, both locally and nationally, to live into our beautiful mission of being spiritually courageous people who transform the world through justice and compassion. Are you with me?
Yes.
I hope more of you will join us in this conversation and this transformational work, because this work, my friends, this work is urgent. The time is now. We cannot wait or bury our heads in the sand. People's lives are at stake. To quote my colleague, Reverend Teresa Soto, all of us need all of us to make it. Say it with me. All of us need all of us to make it. Join us. May it be so. And I ask for your indulgence today. Our service will go longer than usual, but there is so much important information to share. And I'd like to invite David Barker up now as our first speaker.
Hi, good morning. I'm David Barker. It was about a year ago that I first heard reference to the term white supremacy culture, and that I was part of it. My quick reaction was to feel accused of being racist and to become defensive, since I didn't want to be any part of that. White supremacy, as I understood the meaning of that term, I didn't want to be a part of people and organizations that overtly hate, treat people of other races and cultures with disrespect and often with violence. I was ready to argue with people and assert that the use of that term was inappropriate and mistaken. I didn't like hearing the term. I wasn't comfortable with the term. My buttons were being pushed. But then I paused and asked, what if? What if my reaction was really an indication that there was something invisible to me, that I had some work to do? What if there, after all, Unitarian Universalism had a message that was invisible to me until I asked, risked, started listening, participating, and joining other UUs? What if I risked seriously considering what the intended message behind that term white supremacy culture meant? Before I go on, let me briefly describe what white supremacy culture is. I say briefly because this could lead to a conversation much more lengthy than the time I have here. When I Googled the term, I could not find a succinct definition that satisfied me. But here's just one. White supremacy is a historically based, institutionally perpetuated system of exploitation and oppression of continents, nations, and peoples of color by white peoples and nations of the European continent, for the purpose of maintaining and defending a system of wealth, power, and privilege. Here's what it means to me today. It's not about me or us being white supremacists. That is, people acting with overt disrespect, hatred, or violence towards other races and cultures. It's more about the institutions, practices, and the systemic behaviors of our largely white culture that assumes, promotes, and maintains the idea that being white is the norm, the superior race, that to be striven for. It's largely invisible to us. It's the water we swim in. It's the smog we breathe. So I started another path on my spiritual journey. I participated in Beloved Conversations workshop last February. It was about my dominant white culture, how it exists and impacts many other marginalized cultures in our society. It challenged me to consider in what ways I've been inculcated into a system that considers being white to be the norm, to be the desired race, the privileged race, and what that might mean for people of other races. It became clear to me that these aspects of my culture and of my race were not things that I had been taught to be aware of or think about very much. I don't have to think about them precisely because I am white. Would that be true if I was a person of color? This journey has included follow-on discussion groups, reading several authors on the subject. Just yesterday, I participated in Multicultural Transformation Day here at Chalice. A particular aha for me that I want to mention is the realization that I may do or say things with sincere and good intentions, yet their impact on a person of color may still be painful. I don't get to ignore that impact just because I had good intentions and didn't mean to hurt them. This work for me is about making visible those aspects of my culture that have been invisible to me for, and yet have a profound effect on how marginalized groups are treated and live in our society. I'm learning that when I disagree with statements and conclusions made about our institutionalized racism, as it is sometimes referred to, that maybe I just don't understand and there's still more that I need to do to make it visible. Not necessarily a comfortable place for an engineer to be in. This path certainly is not easy or comfortable, but it does feel spiritually courageous. Thank you for listening.
Hello. I'm Matt. When I volunteered to be part of Beloved Conversations, I had no idea what trains, with an S, were about to hit me. I'm a massive advocate for personal growth and development, but Landmark Education and its ilk were lacking the racial discovery component, which was the catalyst that created my very own special Pandora's box that I am still unpacking and will be for quite a while. This Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole experience happened at our opening weekend workshop. We were asked for the purposes of the exercise to raise our hands if we identified as white or any number of other shades. I, of course, identified as white. Yes, 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 I am aware that I am a brown man. But as one who was acculturated, I saw white as the answer with nothing ironic in my choice, which I was blissfully unconscious of. The program facilitator looked at me quizzically when I raised my hand for white, and he stated, "Dude, you're not white." The idea of not being white was a thunderclap for some reason. I felt like I needed to argue the point, but I also understood the stupidity of the case I'd be making, which Mark had succinctly stated. I am, in fact, Mexican. A Mexican who has no cultural ties to anything beyond enjoying margaritas and Mexican food. Indeed, truth be told, I am highly uncomfortable when having to be with Mexicans who are uneducated, speak with a heavy accent, or have no ability to converse in English. To further underscore the matter, I am not this way with any other people. I lived in rural China for 5 years with subsistence farmers and never had a question about comfort. Needless to say, I was and am confronted. But in that uneasy realm of realizing the nature of the racism against my own, I wanted to address it head on. During our group meetings over a number of weeks here at Chalice, exercises facilitated for us by Merlin and Randall consistently allowed me to explore realms I'd never remotely thought to explore. An eclectic compilation of beliefs concerning race, beauty, success, opportunity, cultural origins, privilege, bias, and reams of other matters that I had left alone in my, quote, permanent mental files of things cast in stone. Beloved Conversations has allowed me to become vulnerable in incredibly sensitive areas that at 59 years old I had all but sealed off. And opened a door to meeting new people, my people, and seeing what we could offer each other. I invite you to have your own unique adventure with this compelling program and embrace things that you will discover over the course of your participation.
I'm Randall Edwards, and I'm going to be embarrassingly honest right now. When our mission statement was first announced, I reacted with fear. Wait, what? Nurture spiritually courageous people who transform the world through justice and compassion? That's a big... That's intense. I don't think I'm that. I'm not spiritually courageous. I'm not even regular courageous. And I don't think I'm transforming the world, and certainly not through justice and compassion. I don't know if I can live up to that. But I'd like to try. For me, the most transforming aspect of participating in Beloved Conversations has been what's happened afterwards. One of the exercises at the end was to come up with a big ideas wish list, decide the most important, and determine actionable next steps. Our overarching goal was to become better allies in overcoming racism in ourselves and our world. And one big idea was to connect, engage, and partner with groups and organizations in support of racial justice work. We heard that Bethel AME Church in Ventura was holding a fundraiser for their summer camp with the screening of the film Emmanuel, the untold story of the victims and survivors of the Charleston church shooting. As you may know, in 2015, after being welcomed into a Bible study group and praying with them for an hour, a 21-year-old white supremacist opened fire and killed 9 African Americans. At the killer's arraignment, the judge turned to the family members of the victims and asked if they had anything they wanted to say to the killer. They had no idea they'd be asked to speak. And to my astonishment, each one, in spite of their anguish, said that they forgave the killer. At the end of the film, Pastor Odin of Bethel AME invited anyone who wanted to talk about the movie to come to their church the following week. So we did. Oh, Pastor Odin asked everybody to introduce themselves. There were about 50 people there, some from Bethel AME, Temple Beth Torah, Ventura Vineyard, and others. And after the fifth one or so of our group introduced themselves, Pastor Odin called out, "Chalice is in the house!" Thought you'd get a kick out of that. The discussion was powerful, with deep sharing, tears, and a lot of hugs at the end. Some statements that stuck with me were, "My great-grandfather was born a slave. There was a time for a while when we had no one in government and all we had was God. I'm not guilty for being white, but I am guilty for being so blind. How do we have conversations when forgiveness is so difficult? This forgiveness thing is a work in progress. Silence is acquiescence. I feel that Beloved Conversations made that night possible for me, as well as some actions I've taken since. It was like unlocking a door. What was I waiting for? It doesn't matter if I know everything or if I make mistakes. The important thing is to try to be a better ally, to try to live into that mission. I can't tell you, I feel more courageous. But I'm trying not to let that stop me from moving in the right direction." We'll have the sign-up list across the way.
Are you ready to go with each other to that land of freedom and justice? Okay, so I invite us to rise in body or spirit and sing our closing hymn with great gusto together. Come and go with me to that land. It's an African-American blues spiritual that we are blessed to be able to sing today.